All right, guys, welcome back on the Sights On Podcast. I'm your host, Alex, with my co-host, Lucci. Today, we're getting right into it. We're making this content right now because the election just happened, and we know y'all want to see this content, and it's relevant to us right now, so we're making it right now. We're just going to start right into it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so this last Tuesday, November 5th, it was a crazy night. I just had to stay up that night because I wanted to see what this country would do. So I stayed up till 2 a.m. Central Time, and I watched the whole election play out. I watched all the states go the way they did, and we just want to look at the statistics, see what happened that night, because it was crazy. I mean, I was watching Florida. I saw that go Trump's way in the beginning, and I was like, wow, it was just a blowout in that state, and it was crazy. I mean, he overperformed in almost every state that you could imagine in, and it was crazy what he did, because he was like the underdog in this race. I mean, Kamala Harris, she had like the insights, like she had everyone saying that she was going to be the favorite candidate, but Trump, he outperformed almost all the states that you could even think of. He won all the swing states. His performance in this election was unheard of before, and we just want to see how his performance played out in the demographics, in white voters, in black voters, in Hispanic voters, and any voter across this country. We're going to dive deep into that today.
Yeah, definitely was a crazy event. I'll start off with you've already told us yours, like how you stayed up. I was a little bit of a scaredy cat. I did not stay up and watch the election. I was a little nervous. I was getting too much into reading the news and watching the news and hearing that it was going to be a really close race. And I just didn't, I had that on my heart. Every time I would look at a map, I would get nervous kind of deal. Like when it's on TV, I didn't care if he was winning or if he was losing. I was just nervous. So I said, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll check it. So I checked it. He won. I looked at all the swing states. I was like, man, dude, he just, every state, she didn't even get a single one. Like this was a real blowout. And then I looked at the popular vote. He also won the popular vote, which hasn't been done since 2004, which is crazy.
Yeah. So. I mean, I was surprised at the popular vote. That was really surprising because he didn't win it in 2016, didn't win it in 2020. This time around, a majority of voters in the whole country decided that he was fit to be president this coming cycle.
Yeah, which is definitely why I think when we get into it, you're going to see why he won the popular, because of such a shift of minorities and other groups that switch sides. And you're really going to see that when we dive into that. But before we dive into it, I saw a lot of really bad stuff after the election. And I just want to get something out there that, like, we have to put our friends and family over these politics. I saw people calling Everett Trump supporters evil for voting the way they did. You don't know the reason why people vote the way they did. Maybe it was economy. Maybe it was immigration. Maybe it was something you don't know. And we should not be calling, you know, each other evil or doing these horrible things. We need to be better together as a nation, and we need to be strong. And I just definitely think it's hypocritical and sad of both sides, either if you look at the stereotypical Republican as Christians or if you look at the stereotypical Democrats as love and peace and, you know, not caring who you are. Everyone can join us. You should not be like disrespecting others for their opinions. So I definitely want to see, like, America has to do better in, like, how we don't need to divide our families more and our friends more than what they've already have. We need to grow together as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Politics should never be the limiting factor on who you discuss with. I mean, politics is the only thing that would see how this country goes in the future. I mean, politics is a central thing to America, but it should never divide people, because at the end of the day, whenever you pass away in your deathbed, you're not going to care about politics. You're going to care about the people around you. You're going to care about the people who have cared for you your whole life, your family, your friends, people that were always there for you, no matter their belief or perspective of this country. You're not going to care about the politics. If you do care about the politics and you go to your deathbed and you're like, oh, that person, he was one of the worst persons on earth because he supported this issue that I am totally against, you're not going to be happy on your deathbed. You're going to die as a crying old man who never could get over the fact that someone disagreed with you. So politics, we as Americans have to get past the point of saying, oh, I hate this person because he disagrees with me. We have to get past that point and say, hey, even though this person disagrees with me, I am going to still treat him like a human being. Yeah. Because in the end, that's what matters. We're all human beings on this earth in the same time and place. We should treat each other with respect and dignity.
Yeah, the maturity in this nation definitely needs to grow on both sides. As Martin Luther King once said, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Because this nation, people need to really stop. We can argue, but we can arguably respectfully and not hate each other based on how we like disagree on things, you know?
Yeah. Do you remember any of the comments? Like, you can
just I do. There were a ton of hate comments on Trump supporters, and I've seen it the other way when Joe Biden won. I saw lots of hate comments. I don't want to go into them. They're pretty harsh, or just completely like outwardly disrespectful, and I don't really want to get into them or give them more attention than they deserve. I just wanted to get that out there before we started.
Sure. So let's dive right into it. The first statistic that we're going to highlight today is the Hispanic vote. I mean, I thought this was very shocking because the main point of the main policy of the Republican Party was the border crisis. They're going to deport mass amounts of illegal immigrants. And here we find that 55% of Hispanic men voted for Donald Trump nationwide.
Yeah.
So the Hispanic people voted for Donald Trump to deport all these people out of this country. And I just think that this is a common theme. Like, this Hispanic people, they don't want this country to become what it was in the countries that they came from. And they are seeing that there's mass flooding of these illegal immigrants that have people in them that are criminals, that are the worst of the worst. They don't want to see those people come in. And they don't want this country to become what their past country was before.
Yeah, we saw an increase. I mean, he got 19 percentage points with Hispanic men and 8% percentage points with Hispanic women. That's a huge increase. Mm-hmm. We saw that Trump had a 45% of Hispanics voted for Trump. And, I mean, comparably from last election, the 2020 election, Hispanics backed Joe Biden with 65% compared to Trump's 32% in 2020. That's a huge increase. 45% from 32% is huge overall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, in my opinion, the reason why is a lot of the Latino class is the working class, and I feel Kamala Harris was not really supporting the working class as hard as Trump was in the campaigning that he was doing, and so he overwhelmingly won this demographic because of how much he pushed the economy and things like that.
Exactly. And we were just discussing before that the border at Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, the Rio Grande River, all that place is populated by Hispanic people. And when we looked at the 2020 election, it was all blue. That whole line, it was all blue. But whenever we looked at the 2024 election, all red.
Yeah, as we're looking at it right now, there's very little blue down at the RGV, the Rio Grande Valley, and over here on the very west side. They just got El Paso and one other county, but it really has turned all red. So. Yeah.
And I think that because that's the main place where illegal immigrants are flooding in, and they're populating in those towns and making it hard for those people to live in them. And I think that's why they came out in support of Trump.
Yeah. Another big demographic actually is young people. I think young people, especially young men, took in, like, it really hit Kamala Harris hard because the amount of young men, I know Donald Trump really pushed on young men to go out and vote. I know me and you we're very young. We're part of that demographic of young men that went out and vote. And it's not surprising to be honest with how much the feminist movement has been hitting on men, making us worse, you know, really disrespecting the male population.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised by this at all.
Yeah, I mean, feminist movement mostly aligns with the Democrat Party. And I think that's like why 53% of women, they voted for Kamala Harris in this past election. I mean, that is a common theme throughout the party alignment. I mean, you can't even say that the the men that voted for Donald Trump were against that feminist movement, because you have to see how Donald Trump actually mobilized those voters. We talked about his media coverage. Whenever he was called garbage.
Yeah,
he dressed as a garbage truck man.
Yeah, and then he worked at McDonald's because Kamala Harris. I mean, their media team was on point. They got there the next day. They were already on something, making something big on the news, you know? And the statistic is that, right, for young men and young people overall, is that Democrats had 55% of the vote for this election for young people, while the Republicans had 42%, which is a big difference from, like, the previous election of 2020, where Biden had a 60% lead. Well, not lead, but he had a 60% of the votes, while Trump only had 36% of young voters. That's a huge difference, 36 from 42. So he definitely, and everywhere we look at, you will see that Trump basically gained more votes, mm-hmm. as obviously stated, because he won the election.
Yeah. I mean, he appealed to more people across any demographic you can see. It was a very positive thing for him. He appealed to many people because this time around, I felt that he was more personable. He went out and he did a lot of interviews. He went to the opposite side, and he even had J.D. Vance, who did a lot of interviews with CNN, MSNBC, all these Democrat-leaning news channels. I mean, you get a person that's on the opposing spectrum, and then you put him into all these opposing networks. You're gonna bound to see the Democrats that watch that, they're bound to see that J.D. Vance was on that news channel, and he's actually discussing with them policy and seeing how he can discuss with those people on the other side. I mean, that alone would convert people to the Republican Party, because they actively see a person trying to discuss with other people on the other side. Now, Kamala Harris, she had so little interviews. You're not going to convert people from the Republican side to the Democrat side whenever you don't talk and discuss your policies with them.
I also felt she was just not very good at talking. I could not listen to her for very long. With Donald Trump, he got this from actually his son, Barron Trump. I was just hearing today that his Barron told him to go on to more podcasts. And we see that with, like, the main one, Joe Rogan. I know he went on one with Logan Paul and a couple other podcasts. But especially the Joe Rogan one that got like 66 million views or more. I think it's crazy that was true. Like in the beginning in 2016 and 2020, he did more morning news. Trump was more on the morning news. But he switched up to more podcasts. And I think that's a really interesting change because he was really switching to more of that younger vote, right? Because younger people don't watch the morning news. We watch podcasts. So I definitely see where he got this younger
vote turnout. So I think that's very valuable, because like the young population is what he can mobilize, because older generations are more likely to vote their own way that they voted throughout their whole life. He realized that the younger vote is the vote that can matter. They can change more because they're still trying to find their way in life. Like they're trying to find their values. So he realized that if you target that population, he can convince more people to vote for him.
Well, also young people, especially me and you, I know me, we struggle to buy our everyday goods with the economy and the inflation getting worse, that young people needing some way to live and needing definitely just a word to get out, like we need to start making things cheaper and more affordable again for young people so they can eventually start to buy things like houses and cars and just, you know, their everyday expenses.
Yeah, and right now I have to completely rent everything. Like you can't sustain rent over time because you're not owning anything in your life. You're literally paying someone else, and that money is never going to come back to you. The ideal thing for a person is to buy a house. You want to own property and have that. Under this new economy, we will have that chance because he will lower inflation rates. We've seen that in 2016. I mean, the economy is a very important thing for voters, and we've seen that 34% of voters thought that the economy was the most important thing in their vote, and they overwhelmingly came out for Donald Trump in the election because they saw how much inflation we had under this previous administration and how much we will reduce it under Trump, because he had a history in 2016.
Yeah, and for sure, another interesting one was just women voters nationwide. Trump wins 45% of this, which is up by 3 percentage points. And I definitely was surprised by this because I know a lot of women have different opinions on abortion, but I thought personally more leaned towards Harris with the abortion, that she was pushing to keep it more, you know, to protect the abortion rights. So I really thought that that would be, like, he would have a lower, really low, like maybe even the 30% of women nationwide. But to see it at 53%, or I'm sorry, with it seeing it being it at 45%, that is like a huge, and it being up 3 percentage points, that's huge to me. I think
that's huge. Thing. Yeah. I mean, the women came out for Trump. I mean, that's very shocking. Like, you would think that women would come up for Kamala Harris because she's going to be the first woman president, but they came up for Trump because they saw that he was fighting not for like the feminist movement, but he was fighting for the rights of the people. Like, he wanted to limit the government. That was the main thing that he wanted to do, and women saw that as, hey, he's trying to give us more rights in the end, and he's going to fight for our freedoms as individuals. Now, we can get into choice and pro-life and pro-choice in a later discussion, but bottom line is that women came out for Trump because he appealed to he's against the culture that women have to be independent in situations, because he was like, he wants women to have individual rights, but he wants to have it in a conservative sense.
I think a lot of women that did vote for Trump, a main reason was, we see this, that women don't want men in the women's bathroom, and women don't want, especially, men in women's sports. So I definitely think there was a good portion of women that were like, I don't want this anymore. I don't want a man in my bathroom. We already know that, like, I'm going to... I don't want, like, my daughter in the future to have a man in the woman's bathroom. I don't trust that man. I'm sorry. Like, I know that I don't. Why is a man in the woman's bathroom? What is he doing? So I definitely see that point. And then there's different parts of women that don't believe that abortion is right. And I believe that's probably more of the conservative Christian women. So I understand from that perspective of, like, why they're not going out and voting for Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are very important issues that...
I can even give you statistics of, like, 50% of... white voters voted for, that was the wrong stat, but voted for Donald Trump. If we look for black voters overall, I'm sorry, it was 13%. Trump wins 46% of Hispanic voters. So he won everywhere you look, he went up. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
We can look at white women. We can look at Hispanic women. I mean, even if he didn't win the overall majority, his percentages went up.
Yeah. Now we can jump into swing states. Let's take a look about what happened there. So we have the major swing states: Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and the two that are still not being counted to this date, Nevada and Arizona. They're still in the loop.
I think they stopped counting because he had already won. But if it says right now that Kamala Harris is at 226 with Trump at 295. If they put in this other stat, Trump would be at 312 right now. Mm-hmm. So...
So he destroyed in this swing states, because it was in all these swing states in the past election, he lost them by a percentage point. Now he's up about 1 to 2% in each of these states. And to think about the amount of votes that equates to, that's about 100,000 to 200,000 in each of these states, because these are large states. Pennsylvania is about 7 million population that actually voted. So he got this big of a difference, and that big of a difference from the past election. He moved up about 4 percentage points each in these swing states. So that is a significant amount of voters that turned the tables in those states. And I think that's very applicable to today. People changed their minds. This was not just new people voting, like the younger generation. People actually changed their minds in this election because they saw that something different was happening. I mean, in 2016, we didn't get the popular vote. That was a different state of mind. But now, in 2024, we're getting this huge movement of voters into this election. in swing states, and I think that's very important to see.
Yeah, Trump did, if we're talking about Pennsylvania alone, he got a lot of Hispanic votes, which is one reason, but he also got 20,000 votes from the Amish people, because Amish people were starting to experience the hard inflation that we've all been dealing with, and they weren't able to make their goods or buy their goods for the same price that they were, and so they voted for Donald Trump. They went out and said, well, he's probably going to make things cheaper, so what did they do? They went out and voted for him. So he gained a free, like, extra 20,000 votes. Amish people, the story with this is that Amish people do not vote in elections. They rarely, rarely, rarely ever vote. And for them to come out and vote in this election is even rarer. So he definitely got lucky with that, I would say, that they came out and voted for him.
Yeah, it's very significant. I mean, even if it's a small number, 20,000, it still counts in this election. We've seen so many small, close races that take in 15,000 votes. That's the difference. That's 10,000 votes, 5,000 votes. Here, that 20,000 votes matters. And the even the concept of Amish people voting, that's unseen of. They voted because they thought it was going to make their future better.
Yeah, in their best interest, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Now we'll look at some of the other swing states. I mean, you can look at Wisconsin. You can look at how he... I mean, if you look at even all these swing states, you see all, like, you see all red. You see all red in all these swing states. Like, a majority of the area of a swing state is red. And then you see these epicenters of blue.
Cities, right?
You can look at cities versus rural areas.
But even, like, the cities, like, if we're looking at Wisconsin, we look at, like, Milwaukee and Kenosha, and they're lightly red, so he won them barely. But still, I mean, the only... I see Eclair, and I don't know, I didn't say that right, but they're at Madison. But he won Milwaukee, which is, like, where they held the RNC. And, I mean, he just got the overwhelming majority votes, so...
Yeah, and we can even talk about how he flipped large cities. I mean, that's even crazier, because large cities are the epicenter of the Democrat ideas. I mean, you can look at any large city that you want, and you can see that they've historically voted Democrat in the past elections.
I mean, we can look at our own city, right, of Texas. I mean, yeah. Tarrant County in previous election went light blue. Yeah. This election, it went back to light red. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a Fort Worth is a pretty big city. It's not Dallas size, but it's pretty big. So it's switching back is, I thought it was interesting. I did not expect that personally.
Yeah, and can you believe Miami in Florida, it switched to red? I mean, that's crazy, right?
You know,
that's
why?
One of the most...
Democrats. I don't have the statistical numbers, but it was Cubans. Lots of Cubans came out for Trump, and they voted for him.
Yeah. I thought that was the most shocking thing. Like, Miami, of all places, switched to red. And that was very, very shocking.
Even Jacksonville is all red, which is it's another big city out there. I mean, yeah. They have a football team and everything. So they only won Palm Beach, it looks like, in about Tallahassee area, which is the capital. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's – You're,
and they even lost Tampa, so, I mean, Ron DeSantis really has this probably in the bag for the next couple of years.
Yeah. And then we can go to California. I mean, it's
actually still a change. If you go back to 2020 California, all this middle part is still blue. It all went red this election. California did lose voters, like, overall. Like, Biden won this way better than Kamala Harris did. And you'll see that overall. Biden did better than Kamala Harris. And everywhere, basically. Kamala Harris did maybe a little bit better in, like, certain parts of Georgia, I think. Don't quote me on that. But she didn't do as well as, like, Joe Biden did. If we were to compare, like, Joe Biden would have probably been a better candidate than Kamala Harris is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he would have done better in this election, I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I think his old age was really getting to him, and I think he didn't show a lot of strength for this nation. But if we're going to compare the two, 2020 to this election... Joe Biden definitely did better than Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the reason why there's so many people voting for Donald Trump in the cities is because he appeals to those voters. I mean, you had the grassroots movement of, like, so many people going onto the streets and just talking to people on the street and saying, hey, why do you think this way? And why do you believe the way that you believe? And then they talk to them why Trump believes this way. So example is Charlie Kirk. He goes out on the streets in big cities, on college campuses, big places and areas, and he goes and talks to them. I think that's the one thing that Republicans did well this election. They had so many grassroots movements. They put everyone out there and said, hey, we're going to go to these big city areas and talk to the people where they're at, where, and challenge their ideas and maybe discuss them and say, hey, oh, you have a good idea there, but this is why we believe what we believe. And that's what actually changed people when you actually discuss on the person with on the other side. Republicans did that this time around. And that's what changed people in this election.
Yeah, I definitely would say Trump had help with influencers. I'll name a couple off. Like you said, what did you say? You said Charlie Kirk. You probably had Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, Brett Cooper, Isabel Brown. There's a ton of Republican-leaning influencers that came out, and they made a ton of content over this pretty much election. And I think, as we know, like social media, YouTube, all these things, they really can change people's mind because people don't trust mainstream media. So where do they go to? They go to YouTube, because if those people started lying, they would probably lose they would start to lose viewership, right? If you tell a bunch of crap and don't, it's not true, then no one's going to listen to you. If Charlie Kirk spilled a bunch of crap and it wasn't true, nobody would listen to him, right? But he has all the stats and all the figures, so people listen to him. And that's same with all the rest of them, Isabel Brown, Brett Cooper, Candace Owens, all the same.
Yeah. I was watching the Jubilee videos. I thought that was really interesting how they took one right-leaning person, Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, they put him in the middle, and they took about 25 liberal Democrats and put them into the same room and had them battle out their ideas. Like, I thought that was really valuable to see what the other side thought and how Charlie Kirk or how Ben Shapiro thought about these issues and how they clashed. I mean, people disagree on the simplest things, like how one way should go, how an election should be held, like for voter ID. Some people think, oh, why? That's racist to ever think that voter ID should be in place. Or in Charlie Kirk's position, that's essential for the freedom and fair elections. It's exciting to see the two ideas clash in the same room, publicized for about 10 million people per video in one day. And I think that's very valuable because you get to see the actual people clash inside. And that I think that's what changed young people's minds, because in Jubilee, the main demographic that watches that is young people. And when you see that in a young population, many people are going to say, hey, and they're going to question their ideas. Hey, why do I truly believe this? Why do I truly believe this? And, oh, this is what's conflicting with my belief. And this person who says this on the other side says this, and I compare this with my core values. I can intertwine them and say, hey, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote this way.
Yeah, and I definitely even want to talk about, like, you know, we have even more stats with, like, other states. They're not considered swing states, but I definitely would consider these for, like, next election. I would be looking out for New Jersey and Virginia. These are the two main states I was looking at. You know, Trump barely loses Virginia by 200,000 votes, a little less than 200,000 votes. That is, like, or a little more, I'm sorry, than 200,000 votes. Those states can definitely switch. 2,000 votes is not a lot of votes. So, and same with New Jersey. If we look at the stats for that one, see if I can get there real quick. It was about, this one's about 300,000.
200,000, actually, yeah, 200,000.
200,000 difference, too. These states, they can almost switch completely. I mean, and these are worth a decent amount of points, too. So
within 4 years, that's definitely possible.
Yeah, especially the more swing states there are, the more they got to go campaign out, the more you got to win these states. So.
Yeah. And it's a very much competition. I mean, that's why the Electoral College is so important. Like, if you didn't have the Electoral College, you wouldn't have these presidents campaigning in any particular area. They would just go into the major cities. Now we have this Electoral College, and this state is very important, and they're going to go campaign in there.
Yeah.
And you can even look at New York, for example. That is about 45% to 55% split. I was very shocked at that as well. New York is a very Democrat-leaning state. It's 56% to 44%. I mean, that's getting closer. And when you looked at Pennsylvania, that was a 500,000 to 600,000 vote change from the last election for Donald Trump. Like 600,000 more votes for Donald Trump. If you take that here, in any swing state, any portion of a democratically held swing state, it could change in the next election. And that's true for any swing state as well. it could go to a Democrat as well. But I don't think that trend is seeing for sure, because the trend is more of a red wave as we go throughout this next 4 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when we're looking at New York, I mean, she won all the major cities, Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, you know, Maine, New York City. So if some of these cities eventually change to being red, I mean, he definitely has a chance. He lost by about 1 million votes. But for the state of New York, I definitely say, I mean, that's still a not too hard switch possibly.
That's not hard at all. I mean, he just had to rally more in there and then get more grassroots movements in the younger population.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely won the rural areas. As we see, it's all mostly red. If he could just get, like I said, a city or two, especially like Buffalo, maybe Albany and Rochester. I know Albany's probably very hard because it's the capital, but yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. I think the last thing we want to discuss today is the House and Senate races.
Yeah, the House.
That's shocking as well. Very shocking.
Yeah, and if we go into it, so he won the House, right? And now he needs to win. I'm sorry, he did not win the House yet, but he's most likely predicted to win the House at the moment. So he won the Senate at the moment with a... What was it? I'm sorry. With 53%. Not 53. 53 GOPs compared to the 45 that Democrats have right now. And you need a 50 majority. So they won the Senate. And if we look at... If we look at the House, right, he got 212. You needed 218 to have the majority. It's 200 versus 212. Republicans have 212. So they won almost every part of this election.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as we say, we're still waiting on results for the House. But they pretty much, I mean, they could, Democrats could still definitely come back and take the 218. I'm not saying it's possible. It's not impossible. But I definitely say Republicans have succeeded in this election and taking over each part of, each branch of the...
Yeah.
You know, Congress, and the White House, I mean, even the Supreme Court, two justices around their 70 age mark, they're probably thinking about retiring. Trump can replace them. They'll probably be replaced with two younger people. So you'll have five judges that Trump has appointed.
Mm-hmm. And even in 2020, this split right here, it was 235 Democrats, 200 Republicans.
And obviously the...
In that short amount of time, you had 35 electoral switches.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And... in history, like, you have this movement that started in 2016, and it's just ushered a wave of change in the whole population. You can see it, you can reflect that in all of the electors, the House, the Senate, and the presidential election. And when we look at the Senate, those four seats that switched, that was very shocking. Like, you have Montana, the incumbent was John Tester, and he lost by a whopping 7 percentage points. That is whopping. Like,
yeah.
The incumbent lost by a whopping 7 percentage points.
Incumbents always have the advantage because they have name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to lose is, I think, pretty crazy.
And then we go to
Illinois. I don't know any of the switches. So
Illinois, right here, we have another thing that switched as well. Like, it wasn't an incumbent, but we had a party switch. He won by an overwhelming majority in this.
Yeah, Jim Banks. And I thought it was interesting. I always knew Vermont, Bernie Sanders won that. He runs as an independent, and same with...
Sorry, it was Ohio. Yeah, flip the seat. And not Illinois, but Ohio.
Yeah, Bernie Monroe. Again, we had two independent seats with, I think his name is Angus King Jr. for Maine, and Bernie Sanders for Vermont. So I think that's very interesting how that played out. Still, I think it's funny that they don't pick their Democratic candidate for, like, the state of Vermont. You have the Republican Party, right? Which then when... I mean, this is a crazy switch when you look at it. 63% still picking Bernie Sanders compared to the Republican Party with only 32. That's a... Bernie Sanders is still really killing Vermont with his... even though he's an independent.
Yeah. So... I can't get the past, like, this is, like, mind-boggling, mind-blowing. I just can't get the past. They flipped four seats. And you can only do that if you truly change the minds of people in those states. You can't do that with, like, oh, this small, fine margin, I'm going to get 500 votes there, 500 votes there. You have to make a mass movement in that particular state. And yeah, Arizona here, it's getting close. I mean, you have 34,000 votes that separates them. I mean, Carrie Lake lost last time. I mean, she's trying to take it back, but it's very close. I mean, you're seeing so many people going for Donald Trump
and his movement. I'd say this race, if you look at this third party, takes away 56,000 votes. That would definitely flip this right here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a very close race. If there was no third party, she could probably take this. But obviously, we have a 56,000 votes that separates that from having a clear winner. They probably will take Arizona and I think Nevada. But, I mean, we're only 81% reporting in that. Nevada is probably definitely going to go, I would say, more... Democratic, as we see, it's 95% down, and Jackie Rosen has won, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we didn't win them all, but definitely did better mm-hmm. overall.
And this is, like, this only happened and this only started this movement in 2016. I can say that for sure. I mean, we wouldn't be in this place with a big red wave here in 2024 if we didn't have that start in 2016 with Donald Trump. He ushered in this wave, and that's what snowballed over the past 8 years to this point today where we have all of the people. I mean, we were down in the Senate for this past race, and it snowballed into effect that people were sick of it. They said, no, we are not going to take up with this inflation. We're not going to take up with this battering of economy. We can't take up these high bills, these high prices. We're going to vote in someone that can fix this economy, who's going to lead this country into a better place when it comes to the transgenderism with sports. You can't have people playing in the opposite gender sports. He was firm on that. People in the population that say, hey, we don't want men playing in women's sports. He was strong on that. People are going to vote that way. They don't want this country to go in the toilet of identity politics. They voted in that way in this election.
And I definitely would say that's probably the main reason I think he won. If Kamala Harris did focus more on the economy, she might have done better. Her main thing was identity politics with just women's rights. And I would say maybe you could say LGBT rights. She really, really, really pushed on that. And that's what I mainly remember her campaign being about, was this equality and women's rights. And I heard a little bit about the economy, but it was nowhere near what Trump was pushing. And I think to most people, what's going to be more important to them, equality and women's rights or the economy and the border? So I mean, and it shows, right? Because he won the popular and the electoral college, and I think that shows what most people care about right now.
Personally, I don't think identity politics is the way to go for America. It will just divide us even more. I mean, if you think about our differences, you're just going to separate people based on their race, their gender, their ideologies. The identity politics is what separates us, actually. It separates us because it says, oh, this group here believes what they believe. They're different from us. We should not associate with them. That's what identity politics does in the end. And that's what's dividing America. I think that's not the way to go for America. And it's the essence of division. If you look at any place in time, when you focus on the ideology and how you're different from another person, if you focus on that, you're never going to talk to them. You're never going to see them face to face. It's only when you focus on similarities inside the American identity, when you focus on your similarities, not focusing on your identity, but focusing on your similarities in the country, that's when you finally see eye to eye. And that's what I believe this country should be. I mean, you're in a country where you can discuss freely with anybody. You should be able to see eye to eye on some issues and not focus on your differences. Of course, debate your differences and see where you can agree on, but this should be one of the things that we should focus on going into a future in America, focusing on our similarities, not identity politics.
I 100% agree with that. I think this is a good point to wrap it up. We got all of our points. By the way, all this information, if you want to look it up, it's on Reuters.com. We will definitely link all of our sources here for all of y'all, because I know this information means a lot to y'all. And just, I think it's great for y'all to actually look into it yourselves, just to see this like red wave that happened. I mean, when I was watching this election myself, just for the little time that I did, I had heard of this thing called the Red Mirage Blue Shift, which is where you have smaller counties that usually are rural, right, and they vote red. But over time, when the big cities finally get all their vote, they switch to blue, which is called the blue shift. Mm-hmm. And that we never saw that happen in this election.
Yeah.
And so it's just super interesting. I mean, you'll see it throughout the whole, when you look at all of our information, like why that happened, why there was no blue shift.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to put you on the spot here. I just want to ask you a question. Like, would you be able to tell your story of how you did your research? I mean, I 4 years ago when I asked you in the presidential election, you said you wanted to vote for Biden in the 2021. What made that change? Like, coming from you, you were going to vote for Biden in 2020. Why did you switch over, and how can that apply to many other voters as well?
Well, I would say the main thing was like doing my own research, I think, and starting to see like where the Democratic and Republican parties align more. And the main thing was, is about, I would say I was an atheist around the 2020 time, and I didn't become one until I think 2021, 2022. I switched to, I converted to becoming a follower of Christ. And through their values and more, I found it leaning more Republican. I started doing my own research, started watching Charlie Kirk. I really like started to do my own research overall, and found like the mainstream media that leaned more left was putting out misinformation. And I think that really is what made me switch to the Republican Party more, was mainly like even the misinformation. I would say I said, why are they telling me misinformation? Why is this like untrustful? Why are they doing this to the Republican Party? And I think it made me really switched, and because I saw the corruption. Not to say that both sides aren't corrupt, I've seen corruption on both sides. And as you know, from me and us talking off, I'm pretty moderate actually. But I definitely would say I lean more right. And I've just seen, from everything I've seen from my own research, I lean more right at the moment.
Yeah. So it was more like you didn't know what was the truth. Like you had to do your own research more, and then you found out what was actually happening. I was definitely
hooked into that mainstream media. I only listened to NBC, ABC, CBS type news. So I was stuck in the mainstream. I didn't do any like outside research. I just said, well, these are news companies. They have to be trustworthy, right? And I didn't really even listen to Fox News, because I knew Fox News wasn't the most trustworthy. It was just Republicans had it. I knew that Fox News had a bias, but I didn't think at the time that for some reason NBC, CBS, and like ABC had any bias. I thought they were neutral. And I wouldn't say they're like full on like CNN, like far left, but they're kind of in the left. They're on the left category for sure, all of those. So I kind of started doing my own research. I used All Bias, which is a news station you can use that checks all the news sources for you and tells you if they lean right or left or if they're in the center middle, which is where I found all my statistics for this, actually, with Reuters, is that it's pretty centralized in everything. Like, it's middle and right, and it's all put together right here. So
I definitely agree. Like, you have to do your own research, and that's so easy today.
Yeah, to find with something that just completely aligns with you, and you go, oh, yeah, I believe that. You actually got to, like, dig into it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I was actually going to talk about, this is a very sad, sad, sad topic, but there were supposedly, and I do believe that there were some sort of suicides, but after the election, there were a lot of people that did, you know, end their lives over the election, but I could not find hard numbers from actual news sources. I just found this on social media, so I've decided not to talk about it, but I'll talk about it here now, that I couldn't find hard evidence of like sources at the moment of where they've got this information. Could it just be just regular suicides, or was this specifically from the election? So I decided not to mention it until now. But, and as I had hard evidence, I was not going to put up something that could possibly be false. But it was between the 700 to 2,000 is what I was seeing on TikTok. But again, I couldn't say, like, was that for sure? Was this real? What is this, you know? I wanted, like, some real confirmation from multiple sources, and I could not find it from multiple sources at the moment.
I think it's very sad if you were to end your life because of an election. I mean, this is a very short-term thing. Like, this is one of the things that you're not going to care about at the end of your life. But these people did care about it at the end of their life, and they ended it because of a short-term thing. They couldn't see past that. And I think that plays into the mental health epidemic too.
For sure. I was just going to go into that. Yeah.
Yeah, we have so many mass media telling us that the world's going to end if this other candidate gets elected. It's not. I hate to burst your bubble. It's not going to, because we've gone through Donald Trump already. We're still here. We've gone through Biden. We're still here. The world's going to go on even if your candidate loses. If the other candidate wins, it's going to go on. I mean, you're not going to be ending your life because of this, because the other candidate won. So,
yeah, and especially, I'm going to say, like, as someone who was not a fan of Trump, still not like 100% fan, but I was not a fan of Trump in 2016 when he won. So, but I didn't, like, I just got up the next day. I know I was pretty young, but I still just got up the next day. And same with Joe Biden. I mean, I was happy, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't change my life drastically, I'd say. Like, it does in a way, but overall, your daily life, tell me that, like, it changes your life so much.
No.
It does not. No.
Day-to-day life, I just woke up the next morning and went to school, went to class, took an exam.
Is that what happened when Joe Biden won? You just went, your day went on normally?
Yeah. I mean, even this election cycle, I just took an exam and had my day, normal day life. I mean, I didn't do anything differently. I talked to people about the election and see how that happened, but I didn't have any changes. The world didn't end. I'm still here.
Yeah.
That is the essence of it. I mean, you can't be sad hearted, and if you are, we live up to it. They can realize that you're going to survive. You're going to survive through this time period. If you're in that situation, hey, my candidate didn't win and I'm so depressed because of it, realize that there's still hope in the future for another 4 years. Get your other people to
go vote
the next time. I mean, you can do things about it. It's not even about the party you're in. You can do things about it to get your side. You're in a country that you can change. This is the only country that you can change. And you can get so many other people. You can start a grassroots movement like the Republican Party did.
Yeah. And I can definitely,
on the Democrat side, you can do it.
Anything can change. I mean, we've had, you know, Donald Trump's only been the Republican candidate for, he won in 2016 and he won just now. But overall, it's been an overwhelming majority of Democrats. So I can say it can go either way. It's not like it's been like an overwhelmingly like, oh, well, Democrats have won for like the last 40 years or something. No, it switches all the time. Things can change all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a very, very maneuverable time. It's very changeable. We are living in times where a flip of the coin can determine an election. And that's basically what it is. 50-50%. 51% Donald Trump, 49% Kamala. I mean, it's a flip of a coin. Like, you can change it, and you don't have to be depressed about it. You can be motivated by this outcome. I mean, the Republicans were motivated these past 8 years. They've ushered in this big, huge grassroots movement, and it's hard to stop. I mean, if you're motivated and you want to see change, you're going to get it. That's what the Republicans did. If you're a Democrat and you're listening to this, this is your chance. I mean, it's your time to step up for your party if you really want to see that change. And I think that's beautiful about this country. No matter what your values are, you can change it, and you can discuss with the other side and actually make productive discussions, make a difference, and not shoot another person because you disagree with them. That's what happens in Venezuela. That's what happens in Latin American countries that are unsafe. Whenever you see someone that you disagree with, you shoot them. That's the sad aspect of the rest of the world. But I'm so glad to be living in America today. I mean, this is one of the best countries in the world. I stand by that, and I will stand by that for the rest of my life, because I've learned the history. I've seen for what has happened to other countries, and I can't wait for what these next 4 years are going to be for this country.
Yeah. Amen. All right, I think this is a great place to wrap it up. If you have not checked out any of our social medias, check out our TikTok. We're on Facebook, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. You know, Instagram, find us out wherever you want. Even YouTube, we're really growing, trying to grow out that YouTube page. And our TikToks, you can always find it. We're posting 2 times per day. So make sure to check us out everywhere you can. Share us, tell people about us, We love y'all for everybody that listens. We thank you so much. This is Sights On Podcast.
This is Sights On
signing off.